You ever realize you were a fan of somebody's work without realizing it? That's what happened to me last week when Ivan Reitman passed away. Now, I'm not really sure where today's episode is going. As a radio programmer, I have a concept that I call taking the car out for a drive. And what I mean about that is sometimes I just want to talk about something and it's just nice memories. This is not going to be the most focused episode. I have it a little bit scripted out, but I thought I'd bounce around Mr. Reitman's IMDb and just see where life takes us. Now, I think the New York Times obit really nailed it. They wrote, he injected giant marshmallow boogeymen and toga parties in a popular... Reitman made his mark with movies that often featured memorably outrageous scenes and unexpected casting. Animal House, Stripes, Ghostbusters... Those films turned comedians like Bill Murray and John Belushi into movie stars. Other Reitman films put established stars into new situations, an example being Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins and Kindergarten Cop. Reitman talked about his own work evolving over the years. He said all those early films were really about being in your 20s and being a teenager, as opposed to being in your 30s, 40s, and 50s and having children. In your 20s, you say, what the hell? Let's go start a war in Czechoslovakia. Hey, it's going to be fun. All right, let's just surf his IMDb and see what we find. Let's start with his director credits. 1968, A Short Called Orientation, Foxy Lady in 71, Cannibal Girls in 73. But then he listened to this run. Meatball, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Legal Eagles, all right, Twins, Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop, Dave. That's all in a row. So you've got one movie in there that's maybe not the best movie. 1979, Meatballs. Are you ready for the summer? If you are of a certain age, and I am of a certain age, and Meatballs, for kids my age, we were just hung up on that movie. Uprocks wrote, nobody's going to call Meatballs an excellent film. I might, but I get what you're saying there. It's not exactly Lawrence of Arabia. I understand. But the 1979 production is key to understanding so many elements of Reitman's success and the history of big screen comedy. Made during the height of Canada's tax shelter era, the grungy summer camp comedy would inspire a legion of sequels, knockoffs, and homages. Yeah, let's not talk about Meatballs 2, which Reitman isn't involved with. Establish Bill Murray's deadpan slacker charm and prove that Reitman was a trendsetter. Uproxx writes, basically, there's no plot to this movie. The entire film seems to hinge on turning the camera and letting Bill Murray riff for however long he wants at about any topic he wants. Good. Bill Murray plays Tripper Harrison, a wise-ass counselor for Camp North Star, who, when we first meet him, is telling a news crew about how Yasser Arafat and Henry Kissinger are going to come hang out at the camp with the kids. Uproxx writes, I have a hard time believing almost anything Murray says in this movie was actually in the script. There are scenes where it feels like Murray literally jumps into frame, does a comedy bit about something that has almost nothing to do with what's going on in the movie, then jumps out. It's a movie star performance we don't see anymore. It's jarring. Now, the whole movie hinges on one actor's ability to capture the screen. Uproxx adds, what's surprising about Meatballs is it never devolves into, well, pretty much every other movie from that era with similar topics. There's no scene of the boys peeking into the girl's shower or any other crude tropes. Tripper's just a positive guy who wants the kids to feel good about themselves and do the best they can. And I had forgotten until I started doing the prep for this episode about the it just doesn't matter speech. There have been times in my life where I have gone into a version of that speech without even connecting it back to Meatballs. That speech, and I'm no Bill Murray. Sure, Mohawk has beaten us 12 years in a row. Sure, they're terrific athletes. They've got the best equipment that money can buy. Hell, every team they're sitting over here has their own personal masseuse. Not masseur, masseuse, but it doesn't matter. Do you know that every Mohawk competitor has an electrocardiogram, blood and urine tests every 48 hours to see if there's any physical change in his condition? This is funny even with me reading it. I'm cracking myself up. Do you know they use the most sophisticated training methods from the Soviet Union, East and West Germany, and the newest Olympic power, Trinidad Tobago? But it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And the rest, hilarious. I'll stick with Uproxx here, who say one of Reitman's greatest attributes as a director, after the success of Meatballs, he decided, what if we let these kind of moments happen in a movie where there is a plot? So instead of Bill Murray just hanging out, the next movie is, let's put Bill Murray in the army. And then Bill Murray busts Ghost. Yeah, what a great premise. From military.com, I found some fun facts about Stripes. Are you excited? You are. Did you know Stripes was made by Canadians? Of course, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis from Chicago, but the rest of the crew, Canadians. Fun fact number two, Warren Oates was the movie's only legit military connection. Oates played Drill Sergeant Hulka. I'm laughing just remembering this. This is what I'm talking about by taking a car out for a drive. I'm just clearly free associating here. Hopefully this is bringing back memories for you as well. Actor Warren Oates enlisted in the Marines in 1946, served 2 years as an aircraft mechanic. He made the rank of corporal before being discharged in 1948. Oates managed to deliver menace with a straight face while still conveying a sense that he was in on the movie's joke. The Czechoslovakian border scenes were filmed in Kentucky. The Army let the production film at Fort Knox. Then the producers realized that Kentucky made a great stand-in for Czechoslovakia. Okay. You know, I think most people would agree. Stripes is two-thirds awesome, one-third okay. The whole beginning where they're training themselves and that's the fact, Jack, and all that stuff is awesome. Once they actually get into the Czechoslovakia part, it's not as much fun, but boy, Stripes is amazing. All right, so Meatballs was 79, Stripes 81, Ghostbusters 1984. I've never been like the biggest Ghostbusters fan. I enjoyed it. I remember as a kid, I would take the 7 train into high school and there would be these subway poster ads at the stations and it just had the very familiar now to you Ghostbusters symbol. But at the time I was like, what does no ghosts mean? What does this mean? Why are we crossing out a ghost? And it was like the best campaign. I always remember that image, the red cross out with the ghost on a black background and no words at all. Ghostbusters. I know some people, my former colleague, Mark says hi. I called him former colleague. My friend, Mark says hi from the serious days. Major Ghostbusters fan. Also from 1984, he directed the Ghostbusters video. That's fun. Legal Eagles. Nobody has anything good to say about Legal Eagles, and I don't even remember what it was. Let's click on this. Robert Redford, Deborah Winger, and Daryl Hannah. That's a pretty good cast, right? If I told you right now I'm going to make a movie about this podcast starring Robert Redford, Deborah Winger, and Daryl Hannah, and I'm going to make it 30 years ago, you'd be like, that sounds like a good movie. Let's see, Robert Redford obviously plays Johnny Mack. You could see the resemblance. Deborah Winger plays Mrs. Mack. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Daryl Hannah, we're only going to get into trouble here with this joke. A New York district attorney works and flirts with his adversary and her kooky artist client who's on trial for a murder she did not commit. I jumped on Rotten Tomatoes here. Legal Eagles, the sort of project that gives off vibes of being a carefully packaged studio deal. Legal Eagles primarily comes off as a lazy and fairly pointless vanity project. Okay, we get the vibe here. I'm here to celebrate Reitman, so let's pretend that movie never happened. Twins. Schwarzenegger, DeVito. Are you a big fan of that one? Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop. I feel like that was right in the sweet spot of that Schwarzenegger run where he couldn't miss. Dave is a nice change-up. That's a movie that I feel like I haven't seen in a long time. It's probably aged really well. Junior, Father's Day, 6 days, 7 nights. I was thinking that was an Adam Sandler movie. No, that's something else entirely. Whew. That would have been bad for me if it was an Adam Sandler movie. No, 6 days, 7 nights is Harrison Ford, Anne Heche, and David Schwimmer. If I told you right now, I was making a movie about this podcast starring, obviously, Harrison Ford as me, Anne Heche as my wife, and David Schwimmer as you? You'd be like, all right, that's a pretty good movie. But this one, Robin Monroe, a New York Magazine editor, and the gruff pilot Quinn Harris must put aside their mutual dislike if they're to survive after a crash landing on a South Seas island. I don't remember that movie either. Evolution, My Super Ex-Girlfriend, No Strings Attached. Draft Day is underrated. People looked at that like it was a cheap Costner TV movie. Draft Day is a lot of fun. Washington Post wrote, there are thick books and college courses taught on Martin Scorsese, Alfred Hitchcock, and Ingmar Bergman. But as the film world mourns Reitman, it's worth noting how many careers were built on the shoulders of his buddyship. It can be seen in the best Will Ferrell movies, 5 with John C. Reilly, 3 with Mark Wahlberg, in the goofy games on Jimmy Fallon's version of The Tonight Show, and even in podcasts occupied by buddies. In most interviews, he was generous in praising others and downright boring in explaining the art of what he did. If you didn't know better, you'd have no clue that Reitman helped write and direct some of the sharpest lines in modern comedy. Hi, put me in that camp. Guilty. But I'm really happy I'm doing this episode because I'm getting what an appreciation for this body of work. Take a break and I'll come back and I'll look at his production credits. So one movie we haven't looked at yet, 1978, National Lampoon's Animal House. I loved that movie. My mom took me to see it, and in 1978, I would have been 9. Why am I at Animal House, Mom? What's going on here? And I remember when, and my mom's upstairs, which is why I'm whispering. 52 years old, and I don't want my mom to hear this segment. But when there was the scene with the ladder and the nice college student taking off her bra, and mom is sitting next to you. Whew, that's awkward. I love Animal House. Let me just do some free association here for you. John Belushi, Food Fight, Toga, Toga, Thank You God, Otis Loves Us, Shout. Do you ever not hear the song Shout and it just makes you happy? And something that's got really memeified, the 0.0. As I was doing prep for the podcast, I just typed in Animal House, and one of the Google autocompletes was, why is Animal House rated R? And I started to giggle, but let's read it. The answer, lots of sexual situations, including women giving a guy a favor, reading pornography, Bluto looking up the skirts of some cheerleaders, and watching shirtless women have a pillow fight, some naked breasts. What do you mean, why is Animal House rated R? I love that movie. That might be worth an episode for itself for some of the summer filler. I'm going to add that to the editorial calendar when I've got some travel later in the year. That's a good idea. Delta House. Remember Delta House? An ABC sitcom based on Animal House? You didn't have Bluto. You had Blotto. Some of the episode titles. The Fall of Dean Wormer. Oh, no. The Blotto Who Came to Dinner. Hoover and the Bomb, The Matriculation of Kent Dorfman. Don't you want to see Delta House? How bad could Delta House be? I watched it back in 1979. I haven't seen it anywhere. That, too, might be worth some weekend filler. Stripes, Heavy Metal, that's the animated film in 1981. I'm not going to read everything here. He produced a lot of things. Beethoven Second, Beethoven TV series, that happened. The Late Shift, I love The Late Shift. That's the HBO TV movie about Leno and Letterman. I love that film. Is it a little cheesy? Yeah, but it knows it's a little cheesy. If you've never seen The Late Shift, it's on HBO Max now. Watch it. Producer on Space Jam, Private Parts, the movie that's disappeared. I think that's back. I think Howard sort of made that disappear for a while. I believe that's on HBO Max right now. Old School. Oh, my goodness. I love Old School. So I'm looking here just to make sure I'm not a horrible person. Old School came out in 2003 and had, at that time, a line that just cracked me up. I'm paraphrasing here, but Vince Vaughn says, do you think I like blowing off my family and hanging around college girls all day? Now, at that point, I was only out of college like 10 years, so it was far less creepy, still creepy, but far less creepy than it is now. But back in 2003, that made me giggle. Trailer Park Boys, the movie, that's a big series. A lot of people are fans of that Canadian series. Executive producer on Space Jam, A New Legacy. Oh, I'm sorry. And here, what is this? A TV series has been announced. Stripes, the TV series? Executive producer, is that a good idea? IMDb says, this series is based on the 1981 comedy of the same name. And it's typed into the Google machine, Stripes TV series. I don't think this is real, because now we're going back to 2017. Deadline reports, CBS developing Stripes series adaptation based on movie. A lot of articles from 2017. Check your calendar. Been at least 5 years. I don't know if that's a real thing. Anyway, Ivan Reitman, what a great body of work. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your shows, and I will see you tomorrow.